The following is a podcast of Thrive, a high school ministry at Victory Family Church. For more details, see thriveatvictory.com.
Awesome. It was called the WWF when I was a kid, back in the day. I used to watch, I was just making fun of one of the guys. I was at the Pirate game last night. This guy, Jason Hayward, he plays right field. He looks like this guy called the Junkyard Dog. Does anybody, nobody remembers probably the Junkyard Dog, maybe a couple people. Okay, yeah, Nick back there. I used to love wrestlers like Yokozuna and Tatanka, those guys. Anybody? No? Okay. I'll stop now while I'm ahead. I don't know if wrestling is as wholesome as it was when I was a kid anymore. Anyway, I'm so pumped to be here, guys. I've been like in the back chugging a whole case of Red Bull and a whole pot of coffee. I'm like super pumped. You guys don't seem as pumped as me though. That's cool. That's all right. If you like what I say tonight and you're feeling it, you think something's funny, I want you to laugh. You think something's not funny, I want you to laugh anyway because I have sensitive feelings. If you think something's good, you could say whoop whoop, or you could just jump out of your seat and come give me a high five. I'm cool with that. I'm all about interaction, so I want you guys to feel free to just like shout me down a little bit, say hey, say go for it, whatever you do. How many of you guys I want to get a gauge besides like the leaders who I all kind of know. How many of you guys have ever heard me speak in any type of setting before? Okay, so nobody. So I'm going to introduce myself. First of all, give it up for the worship team because they were really awesome. Give them a hand. I'm pumped for Joe and Mara. I know they're going to do great things. And yeah, so I'm super blessed to be here and be speaking for Zach and Lauren. You guys don't even know how awesome of a leader and a pastor is that you guys have. Seriously, they care about you guys so much. Sometimes I wish they would just stop talking about you. That's how much they're into you guys. About myself, I have been married for going on 5 years, June 27th. Just kidding. I pretended like I looked at my hand, like I had to write it down. See what I did there? Like I forgot? I didn't forget. June 27th, it'll be 5 years. I was actually married by Zach 5 years ago. And weddings are kind of crazy. This is just for the fellas. The girls, you've been dreaming about weddings. They're going to be awesome. But weddings are kind of ripoff. I'm just going to be upfront and honest with you guys. Whoa, hey! Get your phones out. Like, get your phones out right now. Okay, yeah, a couple people. Yeah, okay, you can put them away now. They're just trying to keep me on my toes here. Make sure that I'm all good. The reason I'm talking about weddings though is I want to blow up a couple people. They're not even in the room. It's cool. But two guys on the worship team I want to congratulate that just got engaged, Brandon and Danny. Give it up for Brandon and Danny. Pop in the question. I'm pumped for those guys. Being married is kind of crazy. For guys and girls, it's like moving in to a foreign country you've never been to before. For dudes, it's like moving into a country that smells much better than the country that you were previously in. For girls, it's like moving into a country with like a malfunctioning sewer system, just to be completely honest. Guys are kind of gross. Like when I got married, I went into my bathroom and I went to go take a shower, and I used to have just like this little tiny bar of soap, and it was like a Bed Bath and Beyond, like inside my shower. There was like 85 bottles of conditioner and shampoo. How much shampoo do you ladies need? Seriously, what are you doing with all this shampoo? It's insane. For work, I do video production. I produce commercials and boring corporate videos, but I also just recently scored a great job with the Pirates. I've been working for them this season, so I like get to make all the cool videos that you see up on the scoreboard. So if you're ever at a game and you like what you see, I probably made it. If you didn't like it, somebody else probably made it. It's cool. I love this church. I've been going to this church, oh gosh, probably 7 years now. And I came here in a moment where I was just questioning everything. I was at a really low point in my life. I was at that point of depression. You know, Zach and Lauren talked about they had just God really speak to their hearts today about someone who was facing difficulty and depression almost to the point where they were thinking about maybe taking their own life. I was at a point like that when I came to this church. I really had just nothing going for me, and I just heard some awesome things about what God can do in your life if you really just started to believe who He is and believe who you are in Him. So hopefully I could share something encouraging with you guys tonight. Are you guys ready for something encouraging tonight? Woo! Good. You guys are alive. I love it. I want to talk to you guys about the name of my message, if you guys are taking notes at all, is called Unstoppable. I want to talk to you guys about plan that God has for us. And this plan, if you choose to cooperate, you will become unstoppable. A lot of you guys are in high school. How many juniors and seniors we have in the room tonight? Any juniors or seniors hanging out all the way on the wings there, a couple up front row? These guys are serious. You guys know what you want to do with the rest of your life? Pretty much have it all planned out? You good? Right? Okay. Yeah. So that's a question, right? That's a big, scary question. Some of you who are even freshmen and sophomores, you guys are 3 or 4 years away from going to college, and you're going to be in a season. And I know 3 or 4 years, that seems like a long amount of time, but the older you get, like myself and Zach, the time just starts to fly by. Like 4 years was like yesterday. Like I got married 5 years ago. That seems like just yesterday. So you guys are going to be faced with a decision where, you know, right now you're having people to tell you what to do, when to go to school, when to get up in the morning, what to eat, for some of you, what to wear, you know, who to be friends with, who not to be friends with, when to go to certain sport. You know, you guys are basically being told what to do. You're going to come into a season where you're going to have to begin to make decisions for yourself. And that's pretty crazy if you're maybe nervous or you kind of get scared about, like, you have a hope or a dream in your heart somewhere you want to end up. Maybe you want to be a professional cat groomer or something like that, like John Budovich. I don't know. Whatever you want to go for in life. I want to share with you a plan that if you cooperate with this plan, that you can't fail. There's a specific purpose and a general purpose for your life. The general purpose is stuff that you could find in the Bible. How many of you guys have read the Bible before? That's God's word. That's like his instructions for us while we're here on earth. The Bible gives us very general instructions, and they're all the stuff that are like, you should do this when in relationships. You should be with somebody who's equally yoked when the time is right. Time is not right maybe for some of you yet. But when you deal with your money and your finances, you should deal with it this way. Here's how you should live your life. There's very general things and guidelines. And it's not a list of do's and don'ts meant to kind of keep you under restriction and keep you oppressed. These are actually guidelines that are actually going to enhance your life and make them better. That's like the general will of God, the general plan and purpose for your life. There's more of a specific purpose for your life. And that specific purpose is what it is that you want to do with the rest of your life, whether you're going to, I don't know what it is, whether you're going to go into business, whether you're going to be a pro baseball player. I don't know. Well, one of the general purposes of God for your life is actually to reach people with this message of the good news. They call it the gospel. And the gospel is literally just means good news. And how many of you have ever been to church and you felt like it's more bad news than good news? It's kind of a downer, a drag, right? Yeah? Well, I'm here to tell you that the gospel is actually really the good news. And your plan and God's plan for your life is to be able to impact everybody that you come into interaction with. And whether you know it or not, everybody that you interact with, whether it's in school, whether it's your friends, whether it's your family, everybody you interact with in your life, you make some sort of impact on them. Whether it's a positive impact or a negative impact, that's going to be up to you. And God wants you to impact them with this life-changing message of the gospel that's able to take people who are in depression and lift their lives, who are able to take people who are headed in one direction of destruction and bring them to a direction of success and where they really want to be in life. And you guys have the awesome opportunity to be able to take that message and I know it seems like, man, I'm just, you know, I just go to school in the morning, and then like in the summertime we go on road trips. We all pack in the van and my mom packs snacks. How many of you guys are going on a road trip this summer? Right? When I went on road trips, my favorite thing was I would look forward to like the snacks, because I'm kind of like a big kid at heart, if you know what I'm saying. I loved like gummy bears and stuff like that. And now that I'm adult, I could just eat unlimited amount of gummy bears and no one cares, because I'm the boss of me. You know what I'm saying? I could do whatever I want. So, you know, you might seem like, oh man, that sounds like a really heavy-handed thing to say. That's like really big. I don't know. I'm just here at school chilling. I'm not really into changing the world. Well, I have a feeling that you have more of an impact on the people around you than you even know. And I want to talk a little bit about this message of the good news and this what it means to have a good idea, what it means to share a good idea with the world around you. And the gospel is a good idea. I don't mean to give you a history lesson, but there's a guy who wrote this famous poem called Paradise Lost. I remember I actually had to read it in high school when I was like a junior or senior. His name was John Milton. And this poem was all about, it was based off of the scriptures, but they took some creative liberty. This poem was about how Satan, he used to be an angel way back at the beginning of the time, and that God cast him out and he cast him down to hell. And that's like where that origin story of Satan. And because it was back in the day and it was like in the 17th century, they didn't really have TV or anything. So like poetry and literature, that was like the way that people did like Netflix and Hulu and all that type of stuff. And like there were no like viral cat videos online. Like they read stuff, right? So he wrote this piece of literature, this poem, and the government, and he lived in England, the government of England was outraged because they felt like they needed to control how people interacted with God. That they, in other words, the government decided where you could go to church, what they could say to you at church, and they can kind of controlled your freedom. Well, when he wrote this, people were upset and he had to go into hiding, but he believed in this concept, and this concept is really important to what I'm going to be talking to you guys about tonight. And it's called the marketplace of ideas. And this is what the marketplace of ideas is. Good ideas will always face opposition, but the best ones will always succeed. So, you know, that person who has this idea who's going to be like a cat groomer or become like a dry cleaner for kittens or something like that, that might not be a great idea. I don't know if there's a dry cleaning market for kittens, but, you know, they're going to go for it. That idea might not succeed, but there have been ideas that have succeeded in this time, even if people didn't think it was going to last. Michael Jordan was cut from his middle school basketball team. Steve Jobs was fired from Apple before he created the iPhone. Here were people with good ideas that ultimately changed the way we lived, but they faced some opposition. And the question is, are you gonna press through that opposition and believe in that idea and see it come to pass, or are you going to give up when you face that opposition? U2 was actually rejected. How many of you guys know who U2 is? That might be a little bit, okay. They're a legendary rock band. They were just on Jimmy Fallon. How many of you know who Jimmy Fallon is? Okay, they were on the Jimmy Fallon show. I ask a lot of questions. You guys, your arms are probably getting tired. You don't have to raise your hands anymore. Okay, U2 was actually rejected by a record label. They said their stuff just wasn't that great. They ended up being one of the world's greatest rock bands. Well, there have been ideas in my own life that I've been pretty passionate about. I've had struggles in my career. I've had probably like three major jobs over the past 4 years and probably four or five other ventures that I've ventured out in. But here's the thing. I've failed at more things than I've ever been successful at. But I'm not going to give up, and I know that God has given me a purpose and a good idea to be able to reach people with the gospel, whether I am producing a video, whether it's in my marriage, whether it's in my neighborhood as a neighbor. Wherever it is, God has called me to make an impact on the people that I interact with. You never know who you're going to come across. That person that Zach was talking about during worship, that could be your best friend, and you would never know. That person could be someone that you pass every day and you have the opportunity to share some encouraging word with them that could lift them up and change the way they think about themselves. What are the ideas in your heart? Are you pursuing ideas that you're passionate about? There's one thing in common with good ideas. They usually have some opposition. Some of you have things that you want to do and pursue that you're unsure of, that seem impossible. There may be even some opposition to these ideas. Maybe you've experienced failure and you've tried everything you can, but God just doesn't seem to be coming through in those areas of your life, and you've maybe given up a little bit. Have you ever gotten like so fired up about something, like so pumped in the moment, and like you're sure like this is the thing I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life? I'm supposed to try out for this team, or I'm supposed to be a part of this club, or hey, I remember in high school, I was like, I feel like I'm a pretty smart dude, but sometimes I kind of struggle with follow through. I'm going to do my homework for chemistry. I'm going to do it every night. And then like that would last about like 3 nights, right? And then you'd be like, oh, whatever. I'll just kind of do it. And like you're doing it in the bus ride on the way home. You'd be like, oh, that was due today? You know, you wake up in the morning, some big project. Sometimes in the moment, in the excitement, something might seem like a good idea, but God wants you to continue forth. God wants you to have consistency and continue on in those things. Here's the thing about the gospel, the good news, Christianity itself. it actually just wasn't always like a thing. Like, it's not like churches weren't always here. Like, it actually had a starting point, an origin. And that was in the city of Jerusalem over about 2,000 years ago. There were people who passionately believed in the message of Jesus, and it was one of hope and love. But then there was also a group of people, the religious leaders of the day, who had their own plan, their own agenda, and they believed, they opposed the message, and they wanted to kill anybody who was connected to it. So I want to share with you from some scriptures in the book of Acts, and I want to take a look at why it is that we're actually like sitting in a church today talking about Jesus, talking about how God could change your life. It was because some ordinary people were transformed by a supernatural and extraordinary God, and they took it seriously and they went for it. And these were people that were just like me and you. These were people that got up in the morning, they went to school, they went to work, and they were people that God was able to use to impact the world around them. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing people that God wants to use and impact. And some of you guys have that in your heart, and some of you guys are maybe a little bit skeptical of it, but I'm telling you, God is going to use you to impact the world around you. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath, and he was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. That's what they called Christianity before it was Christianity. They just called it the way. I think we should bring that back. I think that's like a cooler name. Hey, I'm going to church. Hey, I'm going to the way. What's up? In the arrest of any followers of the way. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Okay, so if Christianity started in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and he was heading to Damascus, I'm going to give you like a geography lesson. I don't mean to get like super boring. If you could put that first map up there. There's a map right here that Damascus was over 150 miles away from Jerusalem, and that actually is like the exact route they would take. Not really. I just drew that in Photoshop before I came here tonight to kind of give you an idea. Like, I think if like I had to go, that would probably be like the best route to go. You know, looks kind of scenic. There's like some mountains and stuff. But that's like approximately. You can kind of just see it there. So it was over 150 miles away. I just ran the marathon, or I ran like the half marathon. I started out training for the marathon, and then I kind of downgraded because things weren't going so well in my training. But like the marathon is like 26.2 miles, right? So that's what, like, somebody do the math for me, 4, 5, 6. That's like, I don't even want to drive 150 miles, and I'm pretty sure they didn't have cars back in the day. So Paul was like intentionally going out of his way. But why is he going all the way? If Christianity wasn't a thing and there weren't churches everywhere yet at this point, it was like brand new. It was like somebody just came up with a Facebook event and invited everybody. Why has it, how has it gotten all the way up to Damascus? Well, to answer that question, I want to kind of go back a few chapters in the book of Acts, and I want to look at kind of the origins of what set some chain reactions, an event that kind of set a chain reaction into play and started to transform the region. So to do that, I want to look at Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 39. There was Peter and John were two of the disciples. And Peter, the Bible said about, you can put the map down now. Peter, the Bible said about Peter that he was just an ordinary, unschooled individual. Like, this guy didn't have any like Bible training or anything like that. He was actually a fisherman. You know, he was like a blue collar dude. He was a man's man. And I think maybe God chose him because like he did some pretty bold and crazy stuff. Like, at this point where we're about to pick it up, like, he was arrested for telling people about God, and then he went to jail, and then an angel set him free. And then he went back to preaching for the very thing that he was arrested again. And then he finds himself before people, before this like council who arrested him. And they're like, wait a second, didn't we just tell you to stop doing that? And they're like, yeah, well then why are you doing it? And he like basically was super bold and told him that I'm not going to bow my knee to somebody who opposes God. And I don't know if somebody who was like trained and like super smart would be able to do that. Sometimes you're your own worst enemy in those things, but he was sold out for Jesus. And they were just about to do something really crazy, maybe kill them, maybe execute them, put them back in jail. But there was one individual, his name was Gamaliel or Gamaliel. I'm not sure. I've heard it both ways. I don't know. Don't hold me accountable for that pronunciation. So this is in Acts chapter 5. And he was kind of like an elder with all these, they were called Sadducees and Pharisees. They were like religious leaders. They were a group of people that had known a specific way of being right with God their whole life. And this specific way was all about rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that. When this happens, here's what you need to do. And that was the only way that you were able to have a relationship with God. So for Peter and John and the rest of the disciples and the follower of the way to come and say, all you need to do is believe in Jesus and you'll be set free and you'll be right with God. That really rubbed them the wrong way. So I could kind of see where these guys are coming from, but they were really, really in opposition and persecution of the first church. But this one guy, Gamaliel, had this thing to say when they were just about to arrest them again for preaching the gospel in Jerusalem. Here's what he said. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning on doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. This was a guy who was like, Gamaliel was like the teacher of Paul. Like, Paul went to school with this dude for years and years and years. And here he is basically saying, just let him go. And what he's talking about is like this marketplace of ideas, that good ideas will ultimately succeed. The best ones will always rise to the top, and there's no way to ever stop them because they are just the best ideas. And he's basically saying, if this is God's idea, it's the best idea, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. It is unstoppable. It is the unstoppable plan of God. So they let them go, and the movement known as the Way grows even more. Conservatively, maybe about 5,000 people in this movement. There's probably much more, but I'm just going to go with that 5,000 number. They were so big that this group of apostles, they were 12 people, could no longer lead on their own. And they needed to appoint people basically to help out widows and people in need, to bring them food, to care for the people, because there are so many people that 12 apostles couldn't do it. So they were looking for leaders. They were looking for people who were pure at heart, looking for people who wanted to make an impact. But they were just going to like wait on tables. They were just going to deliver food. That doesn't seem like a big, important job. But listen to what it says here about the people that they picked in Acts chapter 6. So the 12 called a meeting of the believers, and they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are all well-respected and full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full with faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip, which is translated horse. I don't know. That's just like a random fact. You guys could have that. And then a bunch of other dudes. I'm not even going to try to pronounce their name. But basically, there were 7 people that were they believed in, and they gave them this task of just like simply delivering food to people. That sounds so simple. That sounds so insignificant. And some of you guys are in positions. Maybe you're leading here at Thrive. Maybe you're in positions in your family, or in your school, or in your athletic team, or any clubs you might be involved in your group of friends. Maybe some of you are thinking that your position is insignificant and there's no way that you can have an impact where you're at. But I want you to see what happened with this faithful group of men. We're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 7. At this point, Stephen was so passionate. He was one of the seven. Stephen was so passionate that he began to gain momentum and influence in the city of Jerusalem. And he was doing miracles. God was working through him to heal people. God was working through him to speak into people's lives. And he was just a waiter. He was just a dude that delivered food to widows, right? So in Acts chapter 7, 59, 8, or excuse me, Acts chapter 7, I think it's 59 through chapter 8, verse 4. So he gives this big, long speech in front of the leaders of the religious law, and he's basically telling them, what you did is crucify Jesus. And this Jesus, this is the way. not the way that you've lived your whole entire life of these rules and regulations, not the way of all this pressure you put on people to do things or to not do things, not this big burden that you make people bear, but the way, the truth, and the life is Jesus. And their response to Stephen preaching the gospel, to standing up in front of all these people and standing for what he believed in, this is their response. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. And Saul was one of the witnesses. This is this dude, Saul, who was persecuting people up in Damascus, 150 miles away. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church of Jerusalem. And all of the believers, except the apostles, were scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church, just like we first read about. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them in prison. Bring up the second map real quick. This is why this is important. Okay, bring up the third map. Check it out. It says that when this happened, and when they killed Stephen, there was a huge movement, maybe 10,000 people who were followers of the way. They killed somebody for standing up for what he believed in, and people were scared, and they began to run from Jerusalem. I'll tell you what, the very act of trying to stop the good news, the message of God from spreading, that very act of trying to stop the gospel from reaching people actually helped it go further into the region. So this person who was just responsible for waiting on tables and delivering food ended up being a spark that started a movement called Christianity and the reason that we're here today. Acts chapter 9, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the story of Saul, now Paul in the scriptures. We were talking about Acts chapter 9, verse 1. We saw how he was on the road to Damascus. Bring that map up one more time. He was on this road to Damascus, and he had this encounter with God. He showed up. Jesus said, Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 18. He was approaching Damascus on a mission, and a light from heaven, suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now go up and go into the city." And then I'm just going to kind of sum up the rest of the story. There was a believer in Damascus called Ananias, and God came to him and spoke to Ananias and said, "There is this dude, Saul. He's blind because I blinded him on his way to Damascus. He was coming there to kill you, and I want you to go and lay hands on him so he'd be healed," right? So, like, think about this. The very guy who is coming to kill you, God is saying, "I want you to go and see that person." So Ananias made a decision with some information that he was given, and he went and laid hand on Saul. And here's what the Lord said. He said, "Go, for Saul's my chosen instrument to take the message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer in my namesake." So Ananias went and found Saul, and he laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to me and to you on the road has sent me to you so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight, and he got up and he was baptized. Here's the thing. Gamaliel was right. There's nothing anyone can do to stop the message of love and hope from spreading throughout this planet. If the gospel is going to succeed regardless of what I do, why does it matter? It matters what you do. It won't succeed on its own. God chose people to communicate his love. See, there was a point in time in the Old Testament, in the Bible, where God's presence, it lived like in a tent, and then it lived at a temple. It was contained into one place. It was local. It was just there. But then Jesus came, and he did all his amazing miracles for 3 years here on earth, and he told the people that he was closest with. He said, "Listen, I have to go, but I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, who will tell you everything that I know and everything that the Father knows. So no longer is the presence of God contained within one place. It's contained within me. It's contained within you. God has chosen you to take this message into every area of your life, and into your schools, into your families, into your friends and relationships, and it's unstoppable. The message of God is unstoppable when it's delivered by the people of God. That's so important. I'm going to say it again. The message of God is unstoppable only when it's delivered by the people of God. God could have chosen to do anything else to be able to show his love to this planet, but he chose you and he chose me. And that's the reality. And he's depending on us to be able to share this awesome message of the gospel. What if you could go back and tell yourself and invest one thing, or tell yourself to buy a lottery ticket, and you didn't take advice and act on it? Ananias was given a piece of information. Go to Straight Street. He had a choice of what to do with it. Did he even understand the gravity of what he was about to do? Here's the thing. Peter, an ordinary, unschooled individual, was faithful and bold to face opposition and deliver a message he believed in. He appointed Stephen and Philip to do what seemed like an ordinary task of waiting tables. Stephen passionately served unto his death, which resulted in the message of God being spread throughout the regions further than it ever had been before by people like Philip, who made the most of every opportunity and may have been responsible for the conversion of Ananias, who chose to connect with Saul, who's now Paul. How many of you guys came here because you were invited by somebody? Raise your hand real quick. Anybody come here because you were invited by somebody? How many people came because your parents told you to come? Anybody? Okay. The rest of you were just like, okay, I don't know what this building is. I'm just gonna go check it out. It's cool. It's all right. The point of what I'm saying is, people don't get here on their own. People don't get to these seats to be able to hear Zach. People don't get to these seats to hear the message that they've been set free, that God is no longer counting your sins against you. Here's why I think the good news is the good news. God is not mad at you. There's nothing you could do to get God to love you more or love you less. He just loves you. Christianity is not a list of things to do or not to do. It's not about what you do or don't do. It's about what Jesus did on the cross for you. And that's all you need to do, is say that I believe in Jesus and I want to follow him. And then it says that his Holy Spirit comes into you and it changes your life forever. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pumped up about taking that message into my workplace. I'm pumped up about taking that message into my marriage, my relationships. Is anybody with me tonight? Woo! I'm going to close by saying this. Imagine what the school districts of this region would look like if we all took this message seriously, like Peter, an ordinary, unschooled individual, like Stephen. We would absolutely transform Cranberry up to Erie and Cleveland, whatever, in places beyond. And I want to just give you some practical tips as I close up here. Here's how to take this message to people. Here's how to take the good news to people and not come off like it's bad news. Be really, really nice. Like really nice. Like super duper nice. Like really ridiculously nice to people. John 13:31 says that they will know your disciple, John 13:31 says they will know that you are my disciples by your awesome Instagram pictures. No. They will know you're my disciples because of my love, because of your love for one another. It's the way that you treat each other. It's the way that you treat others. People think church is weird and lame because people are sometimes weird and lame. People don't come to church because they have relatives that come to church and they're not living the life that God has called them to. They're compromising. I'm telling you what, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. The goodness. If they see goodness in your life, you're going to be able to gain influence. My wife, who's not here right now tonight, man, she's the best at this. She's just like the nicest person I've ever met in my life. She's like way out of my league. And she does this in her workplace. She's just like nice. She'll bring in like brownies or cookies. She brought someone like a lint roller once, which led to a conversation where the girl was in tears telling her how like through her lint, because she's just like ridiculously nice. She didn't say, God told me to tell you that you're going to hell if you don't, like, that's not how it happened. It's just, she just started a normal relationship, and then you know what? They noticed that something was different. They noticed a goodness in her life, and when stuff started to happen, you know who the first person was that they went to? Was her, right? I don't want to talk detrimentally about anybody, but I was in downtown Pittsburgh, and there was, like, some group doing, like, public prayer in the street, and, they just had this music that was like, it was like really weird like music, and it was like they were like using all this Christianese, and they were like praying for the nations, and they had probably great intentions, and what I'm telling you is not to detriment them, but like I could look around and nobody was connecting with them, and as I was walking away, there was this couple that passed me, and this guy said, "Those people only care about themselves," and I don't ever want anybody to say that about anybody in this room. I want us to go here and be a people where they say about us, man, those people are full of love. Man, why are those people so nice? Geez, they just won't stop being nice to me. I mean, I try to be mean to them, but I just can't. Be a giver. Think of others more highly than yourselves. Invest in others first. Don't give up. Good ideas have oppositions. The best ones will always prevail. And finally, be really, really nice. The message of God is unstoppable when it's delivered by the people of God. Bow your heads with me tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to partner together with you. We thank you for the honor to take this message of the good news and bring it to our friends, to our families, to our places of work, to the places that we go to school, God. We pray for the school districts in this region, Father. We pray, God, that you use these students, God, that you compel them by your love, Holy Spirit, to be able to impact their teachers, their friends, their sports teams, God, that they would be able to turn this region upside down. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. There's one thing that I wanted to share that was on my heart, and God just reminded me of it. This is something I was praying, and as I was praying and preparing for my message, I just felt like somebody needed this word in here tonight. Maybe it's multiple people. Some of you in this room, your ideas, what you want to do with your life, it's been God-breathed. And you're facing opposition. Maybe it's from an adult. Maybe it's from a friend. Maybe it's from a group of friends that you need to get away from. Maybe, unfortunately, it's from a parent. I mean, you should always respect your parents. It's not what I'm getting at here. But somebody in this room is facing just opposition in their life that's coming against what they feel like God wants them to do. Like, I'm saying, like, they feel like they are called to do this. This is the purpose of their life. And they started to take steps toward it. And now it feels like the world is against them. God will use what is meant to harm you for your advantage in his glory. Do not give up. Do not give up. If that is you, do not give up. God will use what was meant to harm you for your advantage and your glory. Or for his glory. Do not give up. I thank you, God, that you're working on our behalf. I thank you, God, that you're not the one who causes the bad things, that there's an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we thank you, God, that you have overcome him. That you have overcome him, and you are on our side. And if you are for us, we thank you, God, that nobody can be against us. Nothing will prevail against the plan that you have for our life. We thank you, Jesus. Pray this in your name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed, every head bowed and eye closed. I just want to ask you tonight, I talked a little bit about what the good news is, what the message of God is. I talked about how Jesus came. He walked a perfect life. He did miracles while he was here on this earth. And then he said, I'm going somewhere and I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And Paul, the guy who we were talking about tonight, wrote this scripture in the book of Romans. He says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you'll be saved. It is a heart belief on the inside of you, and it is a mouth confession. So it's two things working together. It's your faith in action. So you not only, it's not good enough to just believe it, but you've got to say it out of your mouth. There has to be a heart-mouth connection. So I want to know, if you've never made the decision to say, Jesus, I want you. I'm all in on your plan. I believe in who you are. I believe that my sins can be forgiven if I live for you. If you've never made that decision to make Jesus Christ the leader of your life, I'm going to give you that opportunity tonight to be able to accept the good news into your heart. If that's you, if anybody in here tonight, maybe you're hurting and broken. Maybe you're just coming up against things in your life and it's just really difficult season. And you've never invited Jesus into your heart and you're ready to do that tonight. I'm just going to ask you real quick, just slip your hand up. Just put it up and put it right back down. Anybody in this room tonight need Jesus in their heart? I see that hand. You can put it back down. Thank you very much. I'm not going to let this moment slip away. It's good news. It will change your life. You came in here one way and you will leave somebody this place brand new. Anybody, I'm looking over to my right. If you need Jesus in your heart, just slip it up real quick, just up and down. I'm looking over to my left, your right. Anybody else in this place need Jesus in their heart? Just raise your hand up real quick. All right, let's pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your son. I believe in him. I believe that he died and was rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe that you've made me brand new. I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.